initial reopening after COVID to being open Thursday through Sunday. So we're really excited about being able to receive guests at our Pike Place store, you know, on a regular basis like we used to. We're taking a big step towards that.
It's an inspiring story, Louis. You should be proud, and your community should be inspired by this. I hope others will, you know, seek you out and you know, come to you for guidance, because I certainly think you are leading the way in this. Congratulations again. Entrepreneur, activist, artist, Louis Gong, really do appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much, Trevor.
You have been listening to a conversation about commerce and Native American artwork with 8th generation founder and owner Louis Gong. This week's producer was me, Trevor Collins, with Times Like Now in Bellingham, Washington. Music you heard today included J. Cody Robertson. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Brian David at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase nationally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.
This is Roger Fisher from Heart. You're listening to 90.7 KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. Tell your friends to listen on in and support the mass movement of the human tribe.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Andy, moan, now, whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver stream. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is painter Otis Kwaku. His show, Skin Deep, is on now at the Portland Art Museum and runs through December 31st, 2022. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus by Zoom live from Accra, Ghana, Otis.
Thank you for having me.
You're sitting there in the capital of Ghana in August with your headphones on, but you're a Portlander talking about a Portland show. So just tell us what you're doing in your hometown of Accra.
I'm currently visiting family, at the same time also making a research for a group show that we'll have in October with Lumber Room. Yeah, so it's both family visit and then research.
What, the Lumber Room in the Pearl above Liz Leach? Oh, okay. Did you say you're doing paintings now in Africa?
No, I came to do some photographs and also like research about some few stuff. So I will use that information that I get here for that show.
Oh, right, okay. So do you know exactly what you're going to be showing?
Well, the title of the show is called Inheritance. So I'm making a little bit of documentary and also photographing the people from the northern part of Ghana, talking about Shea Butter, the process and the people that make it and how people patronize and, you know, how they come here and then buy the Shea Butter and like rebrand it and then sell it back to the people in higher price and the living condition of the people that make it and all of that.
So you're taking portraits for photography and you're going to turn them into portrait paintings?
Exactly, because that's my process of working. Now also the first time showing a short film, so it's interesting.
Are you shooting the film?
Yeah, I have a friend that is into all of that, so I just give him the idea and we both go and then like I'm kind of like the director.
Yeah, right. You don't have to worry about bit rates and all that nonsense. Okay.
Because that's his job. So,
the show Skin Deep, it's S in brackets. So it's like Kin Deep or Skin Deep. It's basically a lot of guys with their shirts off, many of them wearing berets, and it's in a small tunnel gallery between the main Portland Art Museum building and the Mark building. So, you know, when you go down, you're going to cross underneath, get in the freight elevator to go up to the modern wing. It's down in there. And it's 6-7 paintings and some works on paper. The one that really stood out to me immediately was, I think you call it Twins or Two Men in Berets.
Yeah, boys in berets, the twins with the beret on.
Yeah, so the guy on the left, he's got a black beret, blue shorts, phone sticking out of his pocket, orange belt, and he's got one hand on his hip and the other elbow leaning on his brother's shoulder, and so he's kind of at an angle to the viewer, but looking at the viewer. And then the brother has a pale blue beret, his shirt off, his boxers are showing, he's got yellow shorts on, and he's kind of clasping his hands, he's facing the viewer. And the bodies, so you usually use black paint for black skin, what we call black skin, and then the bodies have been, they have like white drawings on them, which could be tattoos, but they're not.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that how they were really, or you've added that as an element?
Yeah, it depends where I come from in Ghana. I always say, just like in the US, have a lot of like states. In Ghana, it's what we call the regions.
Mm-hmm.
What the US would call states. So the regions have, each regions have their own tribes, and then in that tribes comes like different, they are like sections of those tribes. And one of the ways of we identifying which tribe you come from, they put markings on their body, scarification right from birth. So each tribe has some kind of markings on their skin that is being used to identify the tribe they come from or belongs to, or certain status in their tribes. Maybe in the US, and also seeing people with tattoos, it kind of like reminded me of that, because tattoos is also some kind of like identity people. So I it's an inspiration for that, and that gave me, that's what I thought, and be using that as well.
And these lines, I mean, they're all over the body. They don't stop at the face or they're all over the arms and the belly. Is this realistic, or is this a design you made up?
I added more to it, but like I said, certain tribes have all over their body, their back, but mostly it's the face, the back, the arm, and then sometimes the legs. But I just use that so that the attention also focuses on that, because I mostly talk about identity. So for me, it's bringing certain things visually more for people to get the attention of people and all of that.
In the scarification, what method do they use? And then in your painting, what is this white mark on black paint? How do you make it?
With the scarification, the scarification is done right from birth. When you're giving birth, they use a sharp object, either being razor blades or certain kind of like a sharp object, like a knife or something. And it's done by the local, what we call the fetish doctors, they call the local doctors. So in my painting, I just scrape out paint to create that markings instead of like painting it white or something. I apply the paint whilst it's still wet, then I start to scrape out to create that design.
And are you scraping right down to the canvas, or is there a gesso layer?
Yeah, it's right down to the canvas.
How many layers of paint does it take you to get to render somebody's skin the way you do?
Well, I always apply my paint so thick, so it's just one layer because that is kind of my process. I don't go through layers now. The only layers that I do is when I'm painting the hair, the texture, because I want people to have that feel of the texture of the hair. So I apply a lot of layers.
Mm-hmm. This is acrylic, right?
Yeah, or oil. And then the drawings are mixed media.
This painting of the twins, is this acrylic or oil?
It's both oil. The clothes are painted in acrylic, and then the skin and then the background and stuff are painted with oil.
Why is that?
Because for me, sometimes there are certain colors that you wouldn't get when it comes to oil, and then there are certain colors you wouldn't get when it comes to acrylic. So I always try to use both, because some acrylics tend to have like bright, you know, feel to it. So I like to use both when I'm looking for certain bright colors.
You're really good at painting fabric in a modern way. Like some of your people in jeans, the denim looks so realistic and kind of well observed as well. The way the creases are. So you prefer acrylic because of the color, and also because the way you can work it, because it's faster. Is that right?
I only started painting in oil when I got to the US, because I realized painting in acrylic in the US, my colors dry fast, especially in the winter and all of that. So I was like, I have to find a way to stop these colors from drying. So I started moving into oil and dry oil. So I started moving to oil. But again, I've worked with acrylic for almost throughout my art college, you know, so it's still there. I always go back to weaving, try to, you know, put that and infuse that into the oil as well.
Yeah. And then the bodies, they have a sheen to them, sort of a realistic sheen where the light catches the muscles. Your main color is black and gray. How do you get this sheen?
I mostly use titanium white. And then with the titanium white, I mixed it with raw black, and then tried to create tones out of those two colors. So it's just working with black and then white, but mix it up to get the tone, because even though I'm a black person, as we say in court, black person, but I still have tones. You know, it's just, I'm just not a black figure walking around or like a silhouette. So we have tones, so I have to get that tones in there as well. So I mix those two colors to get the tones that I want.
Do you mix always on the palette, or do you sometimes mix on the painting as well?
I always mix it on the palette. I like to mix the colors and prep them and put them down. So I like to go direct. So I kind of like mixed it into the palette and then take shade by shade.
And then the way you catch the light catches the face of these two guys, it seems like a bright light coming from above. Did you set up your studio in that way, or for the photography or for the painting?
Yeah, I set it up for the photography with the light box and all of that, because everything has already envisioned in my head before taking the photo. So when I'm taking the photos, I know where I want my lights to come from. It is always envisioned before actually taking the photo. So I already know where I want to have my light source.
Mm-hmm. In this piece, you crop them at the knee, but then the guy on the left, his arm is bent at 90 degrees. So his elbow is cropped out of the image. Did you want to have more of him? Why are you happy to crop out parts of their bodies?
Sometimes it's just the idea of playing with space and composition. It's just sometimes have to leave the viewer to also put his or her imagination to it. It's just a way of playing with the scale and also playing with the, you know, the dimension and space. You, even though you paint all of the, I also try to leave something for the viewer to also imagine.
So when you took the photo, you had all their limbs in, but when you made the painting, you decided to crop it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think my favorite thing about your painting is the variation in texture. So your background in this case is orange. It's laid on so thick. It's almost like clouds or smoke. And it's kind of a flat background. You're not attempting to show what kind of room they're in. It's like you've isolated the bodies and then the background is pure orange. How did you pick the color? What's it called? And how did you apply it to the canvas?
Yeah, it's, I think it's, the color is called bright orange, if I remember correctly. But also, like talking about space again, sometimes the simplicity is the best sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to add too much to take the attention from the, from what I'm trying to portray. So it is easier when they are put in a background where it's like a flat color, then the focus comes onto the two figures. So instead of me putting much in the background or at the background, I put that on the body or the skin or the clothes that they are wearing. And also I like to use bright colors because like I said, where we come from, color is a form of language where you identify people by what they wear and the color they choose and all of that, because it's part of their character and who they are. So it also comes into play when I choose all of that.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Otis Kwaku. His show Skin Deep is on now at the Portland Art Museum through December 31st, 2022. So, Otis, you're talking to us from Accra in Ghana, and you moved to Portland first, is that correct? That was your first stop in the US?
Yes.
So a lot of your work is about, you know, what it's like being a Black African in the US, where Black culture differs a lot from, you know, African culture. Tell me some of the things. How did that impact your painting? Like, there must have been a day where you sat in the studio and were like, all right, I'm going to start painting differently because of how different this country feels.
Exactly the way you said it. I mean, I come from a country where everybody's Black, you know. It's just who we are. It's how we are. So you don't even think about the color of your skin or anything. People, you're just walking down, you just walk through. So the first time that I moved to the U.S., it felt different. I realized the stare, like when you go in a certain place, the way people look like, look at you and all of that. And it was strange to me. But again, back here, we watched the CNN and all, so I kind of have an idea what is going on, but I didn't know. You wouldn't know until you were there. So I wasn't painting in that skin tone then until all these feelings and emotions started drawing, and I realized that, okay, it's because of this, that is why. And then again, I remember I took part in one art fair, and I had my paintings, I was painting in full color then. And that was when I started painting like in a dark kind of thing, because the people that I was painting were more of African American, because that is where I grew up. I grew up in a country where, and someone told me that if you really want to excel or move on with this painting, you have to change the people you paint. And I asked the person, like, yeah, you paint more white people and people will buy your work. So that struck me in a different way. that struck me in a different way. And watching the news and all that is going on and how I feel when I go into public, it just struck me, you know, starting to like think again. I'm like, this is just something that I want to tap in. Why is this person saying this to me? Why are people looking at me this way? And I find out that it's because the color of my skin and I look different and all of that. So I started like researching on all of that. But again, I didn't have the idea to paint that kind of skin tone, but I was kind of like soaking in all these informations that I was getting around in my experiences until I had to go to LA to go do a residency. And then one day I decided to paint using darker colors. That was like dark green and dark red, make it darker. So the owner of the residency and some galleries that worked in my current gallery now, yeah, like they really liked the skin tone. And they sat me down and like, because they have been in the market, they know what's going on and all of that. So they just gave me an advice, like, you should really explore that kind of color scheme and see what you come up with. Maybe you will advance in what you are doing now. So I came back home and like started watching a lot of like different videos, especially Picasso when he was studying, when he went through a lot of period, the blue period, the figurative period, and all of that. So I took one image and painted it over and over and over in the same color. But I realized I started taking out some colors, and then I narrowed it down just to black and white to mix the two colors to get different tones. And that is how I ended up with that. So it made sense. I'm like, okay, this is what I think I have arrived at. And also it makes sense to what I have experienced so far and all of that. And also I've always kept in mind what the guy said. So I'm like, no, I'll have to change that if that is what it is. And that is how come I arrived with that skin tone.
It's funny because it's like you simplified things. There's a painter, Jeremy Okai Davis. He has a show coming up at Liz Leach, and a lot of his work is about, he's a black man, he's painting black people portraits, and he goes into skin tone, and he's dealing mainly with brown, shades of brown, and he's studying Kodak and the way they ranked skin tone in color photography. It's very involved, it's very sort of political and very American, but it seems like you just sort of sidestep that by using pure black and pure white. Is that right?
Yeah, people responded well. And I think once, as an artist, when you find your true strength and all of that, I think automatically people also get what you are doing, and like it just all makes sense together. That is how I'll put it. It's just finding the right beat to fall on, because this is what you have arrived at. This is what you feel comfortable in expressing to people. And then once people also get it, they will understand.
You do a lot of images of cowboys. I think they're urban cowboys, right? The LA area, you know, that we often see. Talk about the one painting in the show. The guy's called Ounce. Who is he?
Yeah, Ounce Mitchell is, I would say, I met a photographer called Ivan McLennan in Portland, and he has been photographing black rodeo shows, black cowboys in America, and African-American cowboys all over the place. And he has been doing this for a while now. So I met him during the period when I was preparing for my upcoming shows and wanted to paint our African-American cowboys in their originators and all of that. So I reached out to him and I told him that this is what I want to do. And since he has been in the field and has met a couple of these people personally, I would love if he can provide me with some information and images that he has to. Because the whole idea was that I grew up watching a lot of cowboy movies, and I've never met an African-American cowboy before. So the whole thing has been an imagination built up in my head, because I saw them as, what we would call, like, when you see your superhero or something like that. But it's a fictional thing that is in my head until the protests when I saw the Compton Cowboys. So it was even pre-COVID when I met a photographer, so I couldn't even go with him to go photograph. But he had these photographs, and then he told me about these people and all of that. So it's one of his image that I painted. And I think it's, I'm not sure if that Ansel Mitchell lives in LA, but one of the other states, I can't really remember. But the photograph was taken by Evan McLean, and I used that as a reference to what I already have in my head. But I wanted to talk about the real cowboys and my imaginations as well.
Mm-hmm. It's a great painting because his straw hat is, you know, his pale cowboy hat fades into the sky. There's a very pale, light blue sky. It's very Van Gogh, you know, you're laid it on thick again with the thick oils. And then you get the side of his face, which is kind of glowing with the light on his cheekbones, and then you've gone into great detail with his shirt. It's a check shirt with a very fine check, and you've done every, you know, it's very hand drawn, the design. And then he's wearing it looks like a protective vest, or you know, something like if he falls off, it's like a body armor. But and there's brown smudges and things on his, you know, dirt on the back of his vest, and there's some patches, you know, world finals, things like that. It's a funny angle. I think he's on a horse because you see reins, I think, in his left hand. And then, you know, you've got this, the center of the painting is his hat, which is glowing.
Exactly. That is what I saw when I saw the image. There was something about the space and like leaving that, all that space above, and then just having I've always centered my images or like blow them up that arm is coming off the canvas or something like that. But what this felt different from all the images that I've painted, and I thought it would be an interesting thing to paint, and just because of the view, and when you talk about the glowing eyes as well, the gaze and where he's staring from, it makes you, it just leaves room for you to also imagine what he was looking at, or if he's sitting on a horse or something like that.
Yeah, it's an amazing painting. There are some other I think the oil crayon on paper portraits in the show, and the hairstyles are pretty wild in that. Are these just sketches, or do you make these and give them to people or sell them as one-offs?
These are actually one of the first paper works that I actually did the drawings with oil sticks and like charcoal pencils and all of that. It was just something that I was trying to do for the first time, because I always worked on canvas. So I said, oh, why not on paper as well? And I chose those two because I was also talking about hairstyle and how, you know, this hairstyle has so evolved that, you know, we see it in our fashion, and then top fashion designers and all of that, they use this style and all of that. And these hairstyles originated back from Kenya and Africa, all over part of Africa and all of that. So I was just talking about the hairstyle and how fashionable it has become in the global world as well. Just did that drawing.
Yeah. Who do you think has the best hairstyles in the world, in the world of black people?
Wow, that is a tough one. I can't really say. It's because everybody has their own unique way of their hairstyle. Mm-hmm. So you can't really pick the best hairstyle, because there's always something best to look at in a different country and all of that.
I think, well, in the American South, people seem to spend more time and make them more creative with their hair. Have you found that? Or are you saying, like, in Africa, they're way better? You know?
In Africa, how hairstyle, so in certain tribes, it shows the status in the community as well. Mm. You know, and then when it comes to the kings and queens or chiefs and all of that, they have their own hairstyle as well, which shows the royalty or how powerful they are and all of that. So it's tough to pick the best, because every tribe and every African country have the ways of going about it.
Yeah, interesting. I think my hair is trending towards the Prince William look these days. What? Just quickly tell me, how's life in Ghana? Are the Black Stars going to the World Cup?
Oh boy, I don't think they are going. The Black Stars lately have just been, you know, people have just been disappointed with them, because lately they've not been qualifying for a lot of stuff. But it's just they are not that good as they used to be, so we miss that kind of that. So people are kind of like, just a little bit disappointing. But apart from that, the country is doing good, but economically wise, it's struggling a little bit and all of that. But so far, I mean, people are still going on with their lives, stuff like that.
Do you find going back and forward to Portland is culture shock still?
I mean, I'm starting to get used to it, but sometimes, there are certain things that reminds you that, like, man, you wish you were home. And then there are other things to that makes me like, it's just a cultural shock. But I'm starting to get used to it. I've been there 5 years, almost 5 years now, 5 years now. So it's like, yeah, this is your life now.
Yeah. Is it? Do you hang out in an African community in Portland? There must be a small contingent of people from West Africa, right?
Yeah, there is, but it's difficult to find one. They also because that is the first thing, one of the things I tried when I came. I tried to Google around to see whether it's an African Union or something, but yeah, it's been tough.
Yeah.
To find a restaurant, or when you find one, it's probably Ethiopian or other country, but to find a Ghanaian, no.
Yeah, from thousands of miles away.
Yeah.
Well, I really admire your painting. It's just exciting to see it in the Portland Art Museum. I think people should go look at your website because there's a lot more there and they'll get a much better sense of your portraiture there. What's it called?
OtisTheArtist.com.
OtisTheArtist.com. Okay.
Thank you for having me.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is painter Otis Kwaku. His show, Skin Deep, is on now at the Portland Art Museum and runs through December 31st, 2022.
Andy Whoa, whoa, looks a scream, and him on my whoa, 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 whoa. Andy Whoa, whoa, silver screen, can't tell them apart.